I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
as a Viking fan, all I can say about yesterday's game is that he wasn't DeMarcus Russell.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
DeMarcus Lawrence, sorry.
No, Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell.
You got me all twisted.
He wasn't Jamarcus Russell.
Oh. Actually, if he was DeMarcus Lawrence, he might have done better. D-Law is a defensive player. might have done better. You know, the only thing I have to say about yesterday, Joel, is...
deserve every bit of it. It was a game that you, as a Packer fan, you almost felt sorry for the other team's quarterback and just like, is he going to be all right? Is he going to, what's, how do you walk away from a, how do you have a press conference after a game like that? How do you go into the fourth quarter with negative 20 yards in offense in that half? It was just the Viking rookie quarterback development is painful, and they were playing the wrong team to do that because the Packer defense is pretty good, and they got to him just enough.
Right.
Just enough.
Everything looked exactly like it should for the Packers yesterday with a non-existent Vikings offense. I'm sorry, I don't want to be mean, but there's just no way to.
No, it was. If you have a quarterback who can't do any aspect of the game, he unwilling to run, inaccurate on passes, unwilling to throw the ball. There wasn't one part of the game he did well. Yeah, it's over. It's over. Period.
It was the stat that blew my mind yesterday. We were catching part of the post game show, and they mentioned that the Vikings got off 15 offensive plays in the second half.
Yeah.
And that stat, I sat there for like, and I told you this off air, I basically turned to Rachel and I said, I have to explain to you how insane that is so that I can process the information. So I'm just going to talk out loud for a minute here, and I'm going to be talking to you, but I'm mostly just coaxing my subconscious into believing that 15 plays in an entire half, you guys weren't there. You guys, the Vikings were not even on that field in the second half of the game because the moment they walked out there, and that's what I told Rachel, it was basically like the refs let the Packers defense carry hammers and be like, I'm just going to bash you on the head for this run, and it's over. I mean, it would have been just as bad if they did.
And the Packers knew what was going on. I mean, it was obvious to everybody. They saw what was going on with the Vikings, and the Packers are just like, you know what? Offensively, we're not going to give the Vikings any chance to score a defensive touchdown here. We're going to go into a complete shell because we know until J.J. McCarthy shows that he can do anything on this field, we're just going to win this game 23-6. It could have been 50-6.
Yes.
It could have been easily.
And I was super scared going in because I was worried that J.J., you know, McCarthy and Jefferson would basically find a rhythm, and it would happen in the form of Jefferson eating up the middle of the zone that the Packers had set up. But I saw a breakdown of McCarthy's issues going into the game, Joel, and I didn't say anything about it because I wanted to watch the game and see. And I saw during the game exactly what this breakdown told me, which is that if you watch JJ, you know, the whole thing is that he's throwing super hard so that some of his receivers have drops, but he's doing that because he's waiting too long to throw, and not because he's just holding it. It's because he's not throwing with anticipation. You know, Kevin O'Connell is designing plays that, hey, you got to throw this ball before the guy is open, because by the time it gets there, he'll have a step.
Yeah.
But McCarthy's waiting too long. He's not recognizing those windows, or if he is recognizing them, he's just not pulling the trigger. So when he does see the guy is open, he's got to throw it so fast that it gets there before the defender does, because he waited till the end of the window. And so he'll sacrifice his mechanics to speed up the throw, which causes all kinds of issues. So he basically has to recognize sooner and make decisions sooner, and that's a bad problem to have.
Because you can take every flaw that a rookie quarterback has ever had, and it happened yesterday.
Right, and everybody's saying he's making smart decisions. He's making great pre-snap reads. He's making good adjustments at the line. It's just the moment he makes the throw, it's not happening. And everybody's been talking like, yeah, okay, so we just get his mechanics under. But the problem is he's missing those throws, not because he has bad mechanics when he throws. He's giving himself bad mechanics because he has to get the ball there because he's throwing so late. Yeah. So all of it's happening because he's recognizing plays too slowly. Oh, no, that is the only non-workable version of this. Mm-hmm. That is the only one that Kevin O'Connell can't address.
Yeah, you see, going into last week, because I'm a Viking fan, I watched last week's game. He was doing everything right, but just not making accurate throws.
Yeah.
But yesterday was completely different, completely different. He was unwilling to throw it. He was throwing late. He was unwilling to even tuck and run the ball, which is usually the defense mechanism of a rookie quarterback. When you feel uncomfortable, you don't want to throw the ball, well, I'm just going to run. He showed no wanting except for one 10, 11-yard run to run the ball. There's a long way to go for him to be just a NFL quarterback.
Yep.
But the good news for Viking fans is that they've got 6 games for the Vikings to have a good idea of whether or not he's going to be their quarterback next year, because the Vikings are done. They're not going to be a playoff team unless J.J. McCarthy all of a sudden becomes Tom Brady next week, and that would be the biggest story in the history of football if that happened. But let's just talk about the positives for the Packers, because the Packers, they took care of business. We've seen games before this season that same thing happened as of yesterday, and all of a sudden there's 7 minutes to go in the game and you're only up by a touchdown.
Right, and that was something I was worried about because of how many possessions. That's the thing that Green Bay has had a big issue with. They haven't been having the ball very much. And that sounds silly, but when you know that the average team gets the ball 10 to 12 times a game and the Packers have been averaging something like 7 to 9, well, okay, that's like guaranteed fewer points. You cannot score as much if you're not even on offense as much. And that means that while the defense isn't giving up points, they're not ending drives for opposing teams quickly enough, forcing punts, forcing turnovers. That's been the big form of it. The Packers have not been achieving takeaways. But if the offense can get up and moving well enough, the defense has always been, I mean, when the defense holds you to 6 points, you better be able to win that game.
A time of possession is something that is, when you have a quarterback like the Vikings playing yesterday, 37 to 22 and change time of possession in minutes in favor of the Packers yesterday. That means the Viking defense was on the field a lot. And that's what's frustrating for fans of the purple, is that this is a good Viking defense. This is probably a top 10, maybe top 5 type defense, but we don't know how good they are because they're on the field the entire game, and then the guys are getting hurt because they're out there so much too. It's a double whammy. It really is.
It was something I didn't really realize until I was talking to Rachel about it yesterday, about how tired we were watching the Lions game, and they had zoomed in on Aiden Hutchinson, and Aiden was gassed, but it was right before he just won him the game with that last sack. But I was telling Rachel, I was like, you got to remember, like, if you don't have a balanced team, okay, let's say your defense is bad, they're going to have to stay on the field for longer because their opposing offense is going to keep generating first downs and generating points. And basically that defense is going to be on until their opponents score. And then if your offense is bad, your defense also has to be on the field more because you're losing your drives, you're going 3 and out, you're creating takeaways.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, your defense, I mean, if your defense could play offense, that's basically what you guys asked them to do yesterday. Do the job of both sides of the ball. And yeah, I hate to harp on it, but I really wonder what it could have been with about anybody else under center yesterday. Case Keenum is still in the league, you know. He's still out there.
3-0 in turnovers yesterday in favor of the Packers. 2 of those coming by interception, 1 coming behind one of the most boneheaded punt return decisions I've ever seen by a player. The Viking quarterback situation is going to be ever changing. Let me ask you this, as a Packer fan, is it just set in stone? Jordan Love's our guy from here forward.
Yes.
He's it. He's the guy.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. This season has absolutely cemented it. It won't end the conversation, but it should. Most of the Packer fans are going to be quiet about whether Jordan Love is the guy now. Way too many are still going to be talking about Matt LaFleur. That is a sign of how spoiled our fan base is. Matt LaFleur is the 13th winningest head coach of all time coming into the season. Of all time. You remember earlier this season when they were talking about firing Nick Sirianni over there in Philadelphia after the Eagles put together a couple rough games? He's the 7th winningest coach of all time. There is a weird amount of discourse about firing coaches who are literally the best their teams have ever had. And this is me getting older and realizing that people on social media are whiny. And that's you. Stop saying fire Matt LaFleur. Fire you. You're a bad fan. Fire you first.
LaFleur is fine. Jordan Love is fine. This team is a decent kicker away from probably being 9-1-1 or maybe even better than that.
Yes. Yes. And they both have problems. LaFleur can be too conservative. Jordan Love throws a boneheaded throw every once in a while. It's like, dude, why did you think that was a good idea? But also, they win a lot of football games, and that's how you keep your job.
Yeah, the Packers have a good base moving forward with Jordan Love and the coaching staff. And there's, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that Packer fans don't know anything about, and that is an organizational pressure to win the Super Bowl.
I thought you were talking about losing. I got you, though.
So there's organizational pressure on certain franchises to win the Super Bowl. Now, Lions have pressure now to get to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Because people are saying their window is closing. They're not the same after losing a couple of their coaches. So they're feeling the pressure the Lions are of just getting there. They've never been to the Super Bowl. The Viking fan expectation across the board is win me a Super Bowl. All right? NFC Championship game, that's fine. But you know what? You're gone, Case Keenum. Forget you. You made it there, but you're not good enough to win a Super Bowl. We're going to move on. I think there's an organizational pressure that stacks up on people like J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold and these guys when they feel that pressure of, okay, you went 14-3 in the regular season. That's fantastic. Cleveland would be happy with that. Go win us a Super Bowl or your butt's out of here.
I think when Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was hired, it might not have been said out loud, but there's clearly this expectation that you're mentioning. You're dead on, and you can feel it because of the moves that get made, like the moving on from Mike Zimmer. You know, the stuff like that. Like, yeah, he was in a bit of a down streak, but he was also one of the best coaches you guys have had in a couple decades. And it's right. Like, there's clearly this expectation that good is not good enough, even though good hasn't even been the norm lately. You know, for the last 20 years, only the last 5 have really had you guys consistently competitive. I mean, for the last 10, there's been spurts going back to Adrian Peterson, even maybe the last 15 years. Just, I mean, for one thing, the Vikings have beat the Packers at Lambeau the last 3 years up until yesterday.
Yeah.
So there's been this kind of...
And Viking fans don't want to have a bad. They don't want to have that rookie quarterback couple year stretch. They don't want to go through that because they're used to mediocrity right across the board. But I think Packer fans, even though yes, they of course they want to win the Super Bowl and that's the expectation, but there's always that little bit of a lingering little feathery pillow underneath the discussion that we may not have won the Super Bowl this year, but we have 11 world champion or whatever. Yep. There's just that little bit of a fluff underneath.
They call that coping.
Coping.
Yes. Well, I mean, the way I see it, the Vikings have had dark clouds over the horizon for decades now, and they're constantly trying to find that rainmaker to bring in who will just bring them that much further and say, all right, you're the one who's going to make lightning strike. And if you don't, well, I know these rain clouds are just going to stay because they've got that talent. Adofo-Mensah is one of the greatest drafters that I've seen. With a couple notable misses. And he's got problems with acquiring offensive linemen that end up working out. But like, you guys have been way too good for too long not to have gotten the job done. You know, I think the Packers organization would be a very, very grumpy one for how the last 15 years have gone if it weren't for how the 40 years before that went, you know?
Well, I think, and you can attribute that, what you said about the Vikings, I think, to their consistent desire to not develop a young quarterback. They're always bringing in, they don't want to go through those couple of painful years. They bring in Cousins for a little bit, he's all right, and Keenum and Darnold, and that'll just kind of make the meter go up and down pretty fast. Or when you got a guy like Jordan Love and you bring him in, the meter will be more consistent. It'll start low, it'll build, it'll rise. But when you bounce back and forth from Sam Darnold to Carson Wentz, it's going to go up and down and up and down. It's just going to be a bounce. It's going to be a 10-7 year. Made the playoffs, got bounced in the first round, no Super Bowl. And speaking of the feathery pillow underneath, I feel, you know, the Bears haven't been good for a long time, but I still feel the feathery pillow under the Bears. Remember back in 85? Remember that team? I mean, they've got that thing to point to in their history that I don't want to say takes the heat off of what's going on presently, but it's still there. They have a Super Bowl championship. And it just changes the feeling inside the building. It does.
Well, that's just it. Their trophy case has been collecting dust for a long time, but it's not the bare shelves collecting the dust. There's at least one thing sitting there in the feature spot collecting right. that dust, and it's, it looks good with that dust on it, better than an empty shelf for sure.
We might talk a couple other things in Maybe. The second we'll half of the gray area coming up here twice an hour news and sports here on 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another day of talks between Ukraine and the U.S. now underway in Geneva. The initial plan put forth by the U.S. to end the war shocked many Europeans because it forced Ukraine to cede land and to cut the size of its military in half. President Trump stepping up pressure against Venezuela and its leader Nicolas Maduro with a continued massive show of force in the Caribbean. The holiday travel season's officially here with airlines kicking into high gear.
The skies will be so busy that the FAA is already preparing to use limited military airspace, if needed, to support the most efficient flow of traffic across the East Coast and the Gulf. The TSA expects to screen more than 17.8 million people starting tomorrow. They say this coming Sunday will be one of the busiest days in history, possibly screening more than 3 million people that day alone.
That's ABC's Gio Benitez at Newark Liberty Airport. Already sweeping Asia, a new strain of influenza could make for a nasty flu season this year. This is ABC News.
State and local news with News Director Austin Brume on 98Q Country.
Civic Media News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values, visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com. Deer hunting season has begun here in Wisconsin, and awareness of this season will ensure you and your loved ones stay safe out on the trails. Remember that hunting is allowed in most DNR-managed park system properties. However, state parks, recreation areas, forests, and trails may have different hunting allowances. State parks hunting maps with locations can be found at dnr.wisconsin.gov. Some other tips include identifying hunting seasons and lands open to hunting. Be sure to learn where and when hunting is taking place and plan your recreation activities based on this information. Be sure to stay on designated trails. These trails are designed to improve safety and protect sensitive habitats. Wearing bright colored clothing to make yourself easily visible is always recommended. Choose colors that stand out, like bright fluorescent orange, red, or green. And don't forget to protect your pets as well. Tie a brightly colored bandana or swath of fabric around your dog's neck and consider purchasing a blaze orange dog vest. Be sure to always follow appropriate leash requirements as well. And as always, be courteous, don't make unnecessary noise that disturbs wildlife, and always respect those hunting around you. You can find these tips and more at dnr.wisconsin.gov. Sunday, December 6th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., there's a Christmas bazaar over at the Phillips United Methodist Church. This will feature lunch with homemade vegetable beef soup, chicken noodle soup, and assorted pies. A cookie walk where you can select from dozens of beautifully decorated Christmas cookies on an assortment of trays at only $12 per pound, and bakery items including candies, alongside creative homemade crafts perfect for gift giving, and door prizes with something for all ages. Once again, this is taking place Saturday, December 6th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. over at the Phillips United Methodist Church. November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Isabella Nieto has more.
According to the American Lung Association, more than 35 million Americans live with lung disease. Lung cancer is the second most common cancer in the United States, not counting skin cancer, right behind breast cancer for women and prostate cancer for men. Someone is diagnosed with lung cancer in the U.S. about every 2 minutes, with around 360 deaths per day. That means roughly 1 in 5 cancer deaths are due to lung cancer. The U.S. Preventative Services Task Force recommends yearly lung cancer screenings for anyone who is between 50 and 80 years old, has a 20-pack year or more smoking history, and smokes now or has quit within the past 15 years. I'm Isabella Nieto for Civic Media News.
I'm Austin Brumain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Monaco Chevrolet of Monaco is now your Northwoods base camp. 100% locally owned and ready for deer season. With reliable service and hometown values, Monaco Chevrolet stays on target. They offer a full synthetic oil change for an everyday low price of just $49.95. And there's always a great selection of new 2025 Chevrolet models on the lot. Treating customers the way they want to be treated. It's a place to gear up. Visit Monaco Chevrolet on Highway 51 South or MonacoCars.com.
The Packers shut down the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers over the Vikings, 23-6 at Lambeau Field. Green Bay's defense holding Minnesota to just 2 field goals. Quarterback Jordan Love.
It was amazing. You hold a team to 6 points, you know, it's great. And to be able to come up with so many turnovers like that, especially in the second half, it's a big-time job by everybody on the defense. And obviously, I'm not sure how many sacks we have, but, you know, they're getting after them. It's a great job by them.
The Packers play the Lions on Thursday. College football, the Badgers with the win over Illinois, 27-10 in their final home game of the year. Head coach Luke Fickell.
That's what complimentary football looks like, to be honest with you. That's what I'm most proud of right now. I mean, there's nothing better than sending these seniors out of here the right way.
Women's college basketball, Wisconsin defeated Detroit 81-63. Lily Cron, 18 points, 6 three-pointers. And the Badgers volleyball team swept Iowa. Wisconsin now 22-4 for the season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Good luck this season while you're after the turdy pointer. If you find yourself in pursuit of your own piece of land, or you're looking for a home in the area, or maybe you're ready to sell, reach to Northwoods Realty. We are the area's largest all-encompassing brokerage. Top-notch communication all the way while hunting for the perfect property, sealing the deal, then providing management services should you turn your purchase into a rental investment. At Northwoods Realty, we sell dreams. Visit northwoodswi.com.
Visit the Big Dipper Bar, a historic log cabin dining experience just 18 miles east of Fifield on Shady Knoll Road. Accessible year-round by road, ATV, or snowmobile. The Big Dipper Bar is open Thursday to Sunday with music every weekend. Enjoy Angry Walleye Bites on Fridays and try the Colossal BLT or the best pizza around every day. It's a ripper at the Dipper this deer season. Find the Big Dipper Bar on Shady Knoll Road and find them on Facebook for frequent updates.
Play at the lake that pays all year round, Lake of the Torches Resort Casino. Win thousands of dollars instantly on the hottest slot machines and tables in the North Woods. Place your winning bets at any one of our new DraftKings sports betting kiosks. Don't forget to join the Lake Club and earn up to $200 free play. And download the Lake of the Torches slots app for free online games. Then satisfy your appetite with all-you-can-eat buffets or mouth-watering entrees. Winning's more fun at the lake.
Ready to start your next home project? ABC Home Expert has you covered. Now open in Park Falls at 500 Birch Street in the newly remodeled former Wakefield Chiropractic Building. Whether it's updating one room or tackling a full home remodel, ABC is your one-stop shop for expert advice, quality materials, and dependable contractors. They offer free quotes, 3D designs, and projects completed on time and on budget, all backed by a 2-year warranty. ABC Home Expert. Call 715-890-8088 or stop in today. From design to done, it's as easy as ABC.
Mostly cloudy today, our high in the mid to upper 40s this afternoon. Tonight, some rain will drop to around 34, 35. There could be a little snow mixed in at times, especially further north. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain at a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
Hung my hunting clothes outside on the line for 3 weeks. Spent last night in Charlie's bar.
and now they reek. I smell like French fries, ashtrays, pizza, and beer. But I got dopey on my boots so I can bring in the deer. I got a blaze orange jacket and a chromer to match. A camel backpack full of deer hunting snacks. Three turkey sandwiches, two apples, some Halloween candy, Little Debbie's beef jerky, and some blackberry brandy. It's deer season in Wisconsin.
Yeah!
I'm dreaming about an 8-point buck. Holy week here in the heartland. I want a 20-inch spread in the bed of my truck. I got a dull bleeding can that I call Blatt and Betty. A new grunt tube that goes by Big Eddie. A rattling bag, salt and mineral licks. A bottle of Tanks, my old 30-06. I hear a twig snap, a crunch in the snow. But I don't care if it's a buck, cause man, I gotta go. I climb down from my stand, lean my gun on a tree. Then I take off my socks, cause I forgot the TP. Aw, man. It's deer season in Wisconsin.
Yeah!
I'm dreaming about a 10-point buck.
Holy week here in the heartland.
I want a rack big enough to fill the back of my truck.
Teddy Two Gloves is back. Did you see he played yesterday?
Did he really?
Yeah.
I saw that Baker went down, and I think he's been a backup on the Bucks, hasn't he?
Yeah, he was playing. Teddy Two Gloves playing last night when the Bucks got blown out.
Teddy Roosevelt.
I'm love that nickname.
It's the best. It's the best nickname.
I am convinced with the consistent return of veteran quarterbacks like Teddy Bridgewater. By the way, Teddy Bridgewater is a good guy, and he is a very smart financial guy. He's done good things with his money. And he continues to extend out his career somehow by signing these, you know, $5 million contracts to be backup quarterback. And I'm convinced with the parade of, you look at the backup quarterbacks throughout the NFL, go through the ESPN rosters, and you'll see a parade of veteran quarterbacks that are sitting there in the background.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced that the ability, the gifts that you need to have to be an NFL quarterback, the mental gifts, the ability to drop back and your brain can perceive what's going on in basically like four different quadrants on the field, and maybe even more than that, combined with a person's physical ability to actually throw the ball and their ability to foot speed wise. I mean, quarterbacks have to have decent foot speed to avoid. That combination of all those skills, I think, is one of the rarest that you'll find in a pro athlete, and that's why it's so hard to be an NFL quarterback.
Oh, and by the way, if you think on purpose in that process, too late. You've taken too long. So it's just, it all has to happen at such a lightning speed.
Yeah, and that's, after watching last week's game, that's why I thought the Vikings' J.J. McCarthy was going to be fine, because he was doing those reads, just making bad throws. But then you watch a game like yesterday, and it all kind of comes crashing down. But the true sign, to me, of a quarterback that's going to be accurate is, do you trust your teammate enough to throw that ball before that receiver even makes a break?
Right.
You're throwing it to a spot. You're trusting that your teammate will be there. You know that the defender isn't going to be there because he's moving a certain way. That's what the great quarterbacks do. They anticipate and they throw the ball to a spot that no one else besides you and the receiver think it's going to go to.
That's what a lot of people have said is the problem with Shedeur Sanders. He will throw only to a receiver who he sees is open.
Yep.
At the time the ball leaves his hand. And if you only throw to a receiver who's open when the ball leaves your hand,
nope.
You're usually going to get sacked.
Nope.
You're usually going to get sacked because these guys are getting there too fast. The average time to throw in the NFL this year is about 2.56 seconds. And that's because any longer and you die You die. There's 300 pounds of I'm coming to get you, coming to get you from two different sides and often four.
And that's why those short little rhythm passes are ones you see a lot of the young quarterbacks make, because they're in rhythm, they're quick, they have the athletic ability to do it, but eventually the defense will say, oh, that's all you're going to do? That's all you're going to do? Okay, we're going to take that away. Now you need to go down the field. Now that's a whole nother level.
And these young quarterbacks coming into the NFL are not used to missing reads or busted plays and pushing things downfield. And actually, Joel, I just learned recently the two rules at work that combine to make college offense so different. Do you know what they are? The two rules that are they're rules that exist in the NFL, but there's some slight tweaks that are massive game changers.
Okay, I'm in.
It's first of all how the hash marks work on a college football field.
Okay.
The hash marks on a football field in college are,
pretty,
I think,
very wide.
Yeah, they're like twice as wide or more.
Mm-hmm.
So the wide side of the field is huge. It's 100 feet wide compared to 60 feet wide on the short side of the field. Whereas in the NFL, it's something like 90 versus 70 as opposed to 100 versus 60. So in college, if you're on the hash, there's a super, super wide side of the field that the defense basically can't cover. And if you got one fast guy, you get somebody open over there. The other thing is that in college, the offensive lineman can be 3 yards downfield on a run play before they're or on a pass play before they're called for ineligible man downfield. Those two things combine to make it so that your college can basically run the run pass option and the screen, RPO screen, RPO screen, RPO screen. And okay, you could probably march down the field and pick up some points, but it means that the quarterbacks are basically only checking for run versus pass and then zinging a quick throw out to the flat for the screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's most successful college offenses do something like that. So you basically don't do any of the things you have to do to run a successful NFL offense. And that's why these pro style offenses receive such laud and honor, but even they are held to a lower standard than the NFL is. As Brett Coleman put it in a video last week, the quarterback pipeline is broken right now. And quarterbacks aren't successful in the NFL until they flame out and they end up as backups for 5 years and they can learn what they should have learned, like Jordan Love did sitting behind Rodgers.
The basic defensive philosophy in the NFL is they say it a lot, bend not, but don't break, and that's true because the NFL defenses are basically saying to the offense, we don't think you can go 12 to 14 plays without screwing something up.
Right.
You're going to have a 10-yard offensive holding penalty. You're going to drop a pass. And then you're going to be in second and 11, and that's hard.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Really hard. We'll give you that. We'll give you this. We'll give you five here. We'll give you four there, whatever. Eventually, you're going to mess this thing up.
Yep, and it's not just like the 85 Bears defense was – no, you can't.
Yeah, we'll just
you
take it away.
You absolutely cannot. And the modern defense is, even if you can, you can't do it enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gambling, it's the repetition, it's the volume game, and it's working. It's absolutely working. Guys like Vance Joseph over in, well, he was the Broncos defensive coordinator before he went over to the Eagles. There's a couple, Brian Flores. It's bend but don't break is the phrase you'll hear overused, but that's just it. Sure, take that short run. You got 6 yards of carry? Cool. You still lost.
Yeah, and that's why you saw a game like last night where the Eagles went up 21-0 over the Cowboys. Cowboys come back to win it. Well, the Cowboys all of a sudden, their offense, they started not messing up. They just started doing things good. You saw the Vikings last year, 33-0. They were down at halftime. Came back and won it because the defense said, okay, we don't think you can do it. And they did. They just did it in a stretch of period that most offenses don't do it.
Right.
It's not going to happen that often.
It becomes a battle of extended execution, which sounds like two hooded guys swinging axes at each other, but really it's just details and effort.
And taking a look at the NFL standings right now, folks, there are 12 teams with four or less victories right now in the NFL, 12 teams, which means that it's a little lopsided this year. You have a lot of teams with a higher percentage of teams with good records. The Lions are 7-4. The season ends today. They're not in the playoffs at 7-4. It's probably going to take 11 wins to get into the playoffs this year. It might take 12. You may need 12 wins. You're definitely going to need 12 to get a home field unless you win the division like Tampa Bay, who's sitting there at 6-5. You win the division and you get a home field no matter what the other team's record is. But the Lions sitting at 7-4, and the Packers sitting at 7-3-1. The Packers lose to the Lions on Sunday. They could be out of the playoffs looking in.
Right. And we end up half a game back, even on the tiebreaker. It's that's just it. You and I discussed it last week, Joel, with the NFC North being what it is. The bottom team is going to have a winning record and not sniff the playoffs because three NFC North teams are pretty likely to be in.
Yeah, that's right. And what I like about the tie for the Packers, well, other than the fact that they didn't beat the Cowboys, was the fact that I got to get something. I got nothing today. That's all I got.
But we still haven't lost in Detroit, so take what you can.
What I like is now the divisional record, when the Packers are going for the divisional title, the divisional record doesn't mean a thing anymore. You either are or you aren't. You're either a half game up or a half game behind. You're not tying with anybody now anywhere across the board. So that tie eliminates all that confusion for Packer fans of, oh, best conference record or best winning percentage versus a West Coast team on a Sunday after. That doesn't apply.
Look at Tampa Bay there. Six wins over, and they're ahead of four teams that are better than them in the win column.
Yep. The only team that could possibly, you could have a tiebreaker scenario where you go to the tiebreakers is the Cowboys, because that's a team you tied with. Because then you would go tiebreaker scenarios, but I'm not convinced the Cowboys are going to be a playoff team. And I'm going to say this again: if there's one Bear fan listening, you're gonna shake your head. You're gonna say, "Oh, morning show guy." I still don't think the Bears are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, like 8-3 is so tough to argue with. But check out the way they're doing it is so risky. They're winning these super close games. If you look at how many points the Bears have allowed compared to the other NFC North teams, it becomes hard to imagine that they can beat any of them. But that's just not how it works. Obviously, it's not just math on paper. And Ben Johnson is an evil genius. So if you check out. This website can be, there you go. So Chicago Bears, they've let opposing teams score 292 points.
Minus 3 point differential on the season, even though they're 8-3.
Yep. The only other NFC North team with a minus differential is the Vikings, of course.
Minus 31.
But the Packers have scored 61 more points than their opponents. The Lions have scored 83 more points than their opponents. And, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean anything for expectations. It just speaks to the relationship between defense and offense. And the Bears have been scoring a lot, but so have their opponents. So if the Packers defense has a good day and the offense has an all right day, the Packers beat the Bears. However, it's about scheme. It's about Ben Johnson, and he's really good against Halfley defense.
Bears at Philadelphia, at Green Bay, host Cleveland. They could get that one. Host Green Bay, at San Francisco versus Detroit. So give me your second win there. I think they should be able to beat Cleveland at home. Not saying they're going to, but they should be able to. So now to get to 10 wins, which doesn't guarantee you a playoff spot. I just said I think it's going to take 11.
Right.
That means you better beat San Francisco at San Francisco or beat Detroit or Green Bay in your home field, one of the two. You need three. You need 11 wins to get into the playoffs. If you're a Bear fan, that's the reality of it. And they very well may do it, but I don't think they're going to.
I basically expect divisional splits this year. I basically expect all four of the teams in the NFC North are going to go 1-1 against their three divisional opponents, because not just the level of talent parity, but the style. You know, the Bears, like I said, they're letting their opponents score a lot, but they're scoring more and therefore winning. So, like, yeah, the Packers defense could stymie that, but the fact that the Packers have a good defense might not matter when Ben Johnson is the one who's testing it, you know? All of a sudden that good defense might look like they did against Dallas. Brian Schottenheimer and the Cowboys coming in and putting up a 40 burger on one of the best defenses in the league. Ben Johnson could absolutely be that guy. So I don't look at what's happened and say I'm not worried. I look at what happened and say I'm hopeful.
Jerome Janicek, happy birthday to you, Jerome. Celebrated yesterday from the family. And we've got
allegedly
Wes
from the family.
Wes, mom, dad, and grandma wishing Wes a happy birthday also today. The Chiefs, are they back? They won yesterday, but they're still a 10 seed right now. They're still at 6-5. There's still not much room for error. If you're going to get to that 11-win mark in the AFC, that means they got to win 5 of their last 7 games. It's hard not to believe in Patrick Mahomes, but the team around him, I don't think is what it was.
No, I don't think so. The wild card Chiefs, doesn't that sound like the beginning of a great Super Bowl story that has me a little bit worried? Joel, we just got a breaking news report here. Rachel came in, and,
okay.
And I think we might have a hunter who, a couple hours after the roundup, needs our help here.
All right.
We're not on the roundup clock right now, but Bruce is having an electric stove issue. His died at camp, and they can't find anything on Marketplace. So if you've got an electric stove, was this for cooking or for heating? For cooking. So it's like an electric camp cooking stove. There's a guy named Bruce out there. We've got his phone number. We've got his contact info. He has several hundred dollars to spend in pursuit of fixing this problem. If you might have the electric stove of Bruce's dreams for his hunting camp needs, please place a call to 762-3221. Tell Rachel what's going on, where you're at. We'll put you in touch.
Deer Hunters Roundup back on the air tonight. We've certainly had a fun couple of nights. Tons of emails, just tons of stuff, tons of prizes. It's just a hoot. It's just a fun to hear people calling in from all around the Northwoods. Great.
Absolutely. And I love it because we don't change it. We just open the phone lines and you guys do the rest and give us credit for some reason. Thank you guys so much for letting us do what we do.
And we mentioned the Chiefs being, I can't stop talking football because the Chiefs at the 10 seed, if the Bills lose one more game, they're out of the playoffs too.
At least for now.
But at least for now.
It's so.
There's your flip.
The AFC flipped.
There's your 40-50% of the teams that you thought would be in the playoffs that aren't. They're lining up. The Chiefs are lining up to be one of those teams that you never would have thought would be on the outside looking in.
Except the Ravens. Remember when they were 1-5?
Yeah.
They're 6-5 now.
Yeah. You know what team really? I look at. I shake my head and I go, "Are you kidding me?" After all the Super Bowl rings. After the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL, the Patriots are going to roll out Drake May, and they're going to get another one with another quarterback.
They're going to do it again. It's happening right in front of our eyes. We're not talking about it because Patriots. We don't want it to be true.
I say this in the most loving way, Patriots. I hate you. I hate you.
Yeah.
I really do. I love Pat the Patriot. I love their old helmet. But Patriots fans, you deserve 20 years of just wallowing and. On the bottom of the standings. Just get out of here. Go away.
See, that's, you know what it was? It was Tom Brady and the Patriots who showed me how you guys feel about the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's just too much. It's just too many. They've been at the top too long. Tom Brady needs to get out of the league and stop collecting rings because he knows how to do it better than everybody ever will again. And that's basically, I get it. Like, the rallying cry on the Vikings forum, the Lions forum, and the Bears forum is all a three-word phrase that ends with the Packers.
Yeah.
You know exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
Why do all three teams care about the same thing? Because we're good. And that's why I hate the Patriots.
And how about, we're an NFC, an NFC part of the country here. But how about the Bills? The Bills window is closing.
It is.
Josh Allen is going to be the Fran Tarkington of the modern era. He's going to set passing records. He's going to be one of the greatest ever. But it's not looking good for them this year. The team around him is not what they were the last couple of years. And now the Bills finally get that year where Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are struggling. This is their year. There's no more Chiefs. And now the Bills are tripping over their own 2 feet. They can't get there.
They'll make it there, but they won't win. They'll do that. By the way, we got an update. Bruce actually needs a kitchen range, not a stove of any kind. It's an electric kitchen range. He's got several $100. Give us a call if you'd like to sell your electric kitchen range to Bruce. He has needs since his diet at deer camp.
The old days of the swap shop. I love it. All right, we out of here. Mr. Gunderson, we'll see you back in here tonight.
You betcha, 6 p.m.
Deer Hunters Roundup tonight right here. on 98Q Country. Think banks are all the same? Think again. At Forward Bank, as a mutual bank, Forward is proud to reinvest the profits back into the community, not someone else's stock portfolio. That means better service, a commitment to stability, and a focus on what matters most, you and your neighbors. Forward Bank, where personal service isn't just a perk, it's how they do business. Because when you bank with Forward, your success is their success. Move forward, learn more, or open your account at forward.bank. Member FDIC.
Honeyline Station BP with bait and tackle is geared up for the fall fishing season. And yes, musky suckers are in stock now. Stop in for St. Croix rods, tackle, and all the live bait you need to reel in that big muskie before the snow flies. Between Fifield and Minocqua, it's your one stop for fuel, groceries, snacks, lottery tickets, propane, firewood, and more. Plus, DNR licensing and vehicle registrations. Open 7 days a week from 6 to 9 on Highway 7.